Will the Senate please come to order? And will the members please vote to signify their presence?
Borough shows 13 members present this morning.
Please stand for the invocation by C. Ronald Covey, Douglas Community United Methodist Church. Honorable senators, members of the staff, distinguished guests and visitors, we hold the faith traditions of all Alaskans in deepest respect and offer prayer as one pathway into the presence of God. May we pray. God of life and being, you are rich beyond measure, for all things ultimately belong to you. As we gather here, warm and comfortable, keep us mindful this is so because of the tax money yielded up by the individuals and businesses of this great land. Help us to see this money as the concentrated energy of the people, and grant us wisdom to direct this energy that it may teach and train, help and heal, serve and protect, repair and renew, and lay foundations for the future. Amen.
Senator Ellis, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Cowdery.
Thank you. I'd ask that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. That brings us to the certification of the journal.
I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 80th legislative day.
Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, the journal is approved and certified by the Senate Secretary. That brings us to introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction? Senator Ward.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce a person that is from my district that's down here for the next couple of days, and she's serving as a guest page. If we could sure all welcome Holly Caraway to the body.
Further guests for introduction? Senator Phillips.
President, you and I have two guests from Chuya High School. Both of them are teachers, and they're in the Ziegler Gallery. They stand after I introduce them. Perry Lewis, who teaches social studies at Chuya High School, and Martin Lang, English, I won't call you professor, teacher at Chuya High School.
Further guests, Senator Cowdery.
Thank you. I have two constituents in the gallery behind me, the Ziegler Gallery. They're down here for the business and professional women group, and also for the realtors. They're, first, I'd like to introduce Linda Friday Cazola, and okay, we got it closed, and Gail Yasko. Please make her welcome.
Further guests for introduction, Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's my pleasure to have in the Grow Gallery today a constituent, a longtime friend, a neighbor, has been with Golden Valley Electric for many, many years before he retired. Now is very active in the Pioneers, and just one of the great guys that makes Fairbanks Fairbanks. And I'd hope you'd welcome to the Senate Mr. Bob Huffman.
Further guests for introduction? Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, we have another guest page who is on the floor, and this young man I got to meet, I believe when he was born, his parents lived in my district, and so he got a good start being a resident of West Anchorage. And he's 9 years old now. His name is Travis Lyon, and his mother works in your office. His mother is Kelly Huber, and I'd like to welcome Travis to the Senate today.
Can we stand at ease, please? Will the Senate please come back to order? We're under introduction of guests. Are there further guests for introduction? Senator Green.
Now, Mr. President, it's a pleasure to introduce the mayor of the Matsu Borough and the manager, Tim Anderson, mayor, and John Duffy, our borough manager. If you'd help me welcome them, please.
Further guests for introduction? If not, that brings us to messages from the governor.
Message dated March 27. Stating I am transmitting the engrossed and rolled copies of the following resolution to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing, CS for House Joint Resolution Number 10, Fisheries, relating to the management of the Bering Sea, Aleutian Islands, and Gulf of Alaska ground fish fisheries and the protection and restoration of the Stellar Sea Line, Legislative Resolve Number 15. Those are all the messages from the governor this morning.
Messages from the House.
Message dated March 28th stating the House has passed and transmitted for consideration. CS for House Bill Number 81, Finance by the House Finance Committee, an act extending the termination date of the Board of Dental Examiners relating to the Board of Dental Examiners and regulation of the practice of dentistry and relating to dental hygienists and dental assistants.
Labor and Commerce and Finance.
Those are all the messages from the House this morning, Mr. President.
Communications.
There are no communications this morning.
Reports to standing committees.
Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 37 relating to collective negotiation by physicians with health benefit plans. Recommends a Finance Committee substitute be adopted, fiscal and zero fiscal notes attached. Signing do pass, Senator Kelly, co-chair. Senators Wilkin and Lehman. Signing do not pass, Senator Hoffman. Signing no recommendation, Senator Donnelly, co-chair. Senators Osterman, Olson, and Green. Senate Bill Number 37 has no further referral.
Rules.
Finance Committee considers Senate Bill Number 48, Municipalities and Corporation Property Value. Signing recommends a Finance Committee substitute, previous fiscal note attached. Signing do pass, Senator Kelly, co-chair. Senators Green, Wilkin, and Lehman. Signing no recommendation, Senator Osterman. Signing do not pass, Senators Hoffman and Olson. Senate Bill Number 48 has no further referral.
Rules.
Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considers Senate Bill Number 154, repeal of sunset mental health assistance. Fiscal note attached. Signing do pass, Senator Green, chair. Senators Lehman, Wilkin, and Davis. Senate Bill Number 154 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Resources Committee considers Senate Bill Number 156, Best Interest Finding under Alaska Land Act. Recommends a Resources Committee substitute, zero fiscal note. Signing do pass, Senator Torgerson, chair. Senators Taylor, Halford, Pierce, and Kelly. Signing no recommendation, Senators Lincoln and Elton. Senate Bill Number 156 has no further referral.
Rules.
Resources Committee considered Senate Bill Number 158, Report on State Participation in Natural Gas Pipeline. Recommends a Resources Committee substitute. Fiscal note attached. Signing do pass, Senator Torgerson, chair. Senators Taylor, Halford, Pierce, Kelly, and Elton. Signing no recommendation, Senator Lincoln. Senate Bill Number 158 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Resources Committee considered Senate Bill Number 164, No Gas Pipeline Over Beaufort Sea. Zero fiscal note attached. Signing do pass, Senator Torgerson, chair. Senators Taylor, Halford, Pierce, Kelly, Lincoln, and Elton. Senate Bill Number 164 has no further referral.
Rules.
Judiciary Committee considered CS for House Bill Number 24, Tourism, Borough Revenues for Tourism Marketing. Previous zero fiscal note attached. Signing do pass, Senator Taylor, chair. Senators Cowdery, Donnelly, and Terrio. CS for House Bill Number 24, Tourism, has no further referral.
Rules.
Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considers Senate Joint Resolution Number 21, extending federal temporary assistance to needy families grants. Recommends a HES committee substitute, zero fiscal note attached. Signing do pass, Senator Green, chair. Senators Lehman, Wilkin, and Davis. Senate Joint Resolution Number 21 has no further referral.
Rules.
Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered House Bill Number 118, Senior Citizens Veteran Property Tax Exemption. Previous zero fiscal note attached. Signing do pass, Senator Torgerson, chair. Senators Lincoln and Osterman. Signing no recommendation, Senator Phillips. House Bill Number 118 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered House Bill Number 156, relating to municipal debt for development and redevelopment projects. Zero fiscal note attached. Signing do pass, Senator Torgerson, chair. Senators Phillips and Osterman. Signing no recommendation, Senator Lincoln. House Bill Number 156 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Rules Committee considered Senate Bill Number 6, Mobile Home Park Eviction Notice, recommending placement on the calendar. Signing the report, Senator Pierce, chair. Senators Terrio, Ellis, Cowdery, and Phillips. Rules Committee considered Senate Bill Number 103, relating to election campaigns and legislative ethics. Signing for placement on the calendar, Senator Pierce, chair. Senators Cowdery and Terrio. Signing under other recommendations, Senator Ellis. Signing no recommendation, Senator Phillips. Rules Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 15 relating to imports of salmon from Chile. Recommend the adoption of a Rules Committee substitute. Previous zero fiscal note attached. Signing for placement on the calendar, Senator Pierce, chair. Senator Terrio. Signing under other recommendations, Senator Ellis. Signing no recommendation, Senator Phillips. Rules Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 17, Federal Gun Policies. Signing for placement on the calendar, Senator Pierce, chair. Senators Cowdery, Phillips, Terrio, and Ellis. These bills and resolutions appear on today's calendar. Those are all the standing committee reports this morning, Mr. President.
Reports to special committees.
There are no special committee reports this morning.
Introduction to Senate resolutions.
There are no Senate resolutions for introduction this morning.
Introduction to Senate bills.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 76 by Senators Terrio, Wilkin, Kelly, and Green, an act relating to the Alaska Right-of-Way Leasing Act and providing for an effective date.
Resources.
Senate Bill number 168 by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee by request, an act relating to loans made by the Commercial Fishing Loan Program.
Labor and Commerce, Resources and Finance.
Senate Bill number 169 by Senators Donnelly, Taylor, Pierce, Cowdery, and Phillips, an act relating to the non-applicability of the delinquency laws to certain minors accused of certain crimes against persons directed at certain victims.
Judiciary and Finance.
Senate Bill number 170 by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee by request, an act relating to wage and hour protections for employees of the Alaska Railroad Corporation.
Labor and Commerce and Judiciary.
Senate Bill number 171 by the Senate Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act making a capital appropriation to the Department of Education and Early Development for public school facilities that is financed from the proceeds of revenue bonds issued by the Northern Tobacco Securitization Corporation, making appropriations to the Department of Transportation and public facilities for public transportation projects and public harbor facilities projects, issuance costs, and capitalized interest that are financed from the proceeds from the sale of certificates of participation in financing leases and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary and Finance.
Those are all the bills for introduction this morning, Mr. President.
That brings us to the consideration of the daily calendar. Senator Lehman.
Move that the Senate stand in recess to a call of the chair, and the Republican Majority Caucus will be having a caucus meeting in the Butchovich room.
Just before we act on that, Senator Pierce, did you have an announcement or a question? Without objection, we will stand in recess, hopefully for a brief period of time.
Senator, I ask you how long you expect to be in caucus?
10 or 15 minutes, Senator.
Okay. Thank you.
Back to order. We are on the daily calendar. Senator Lehman.
I move to ask unanimous consent that the citation honoring Secretary of Interior Gail Norton be taken up as a special order of business at this time.
Without objection, the citation is before us.
I move the adoption of the citation.
Without objection, the citation is adopted. That brings us back to the first bill on the calendar.
Senate Bill number 6 by Senators Ellis and Davis, an act relating to required notice of eviction to mobile home park dwellers and tenants before redevelopment of the park. Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill, recommends Labor and Commerce CS. Signing, do pass. Senator Phillips, Chair. Senators Davis, Osterman, and Lehman. Signing, no recommendation. Senator Torgerson. Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends Finance Committee substitute. Previous zero fiscal note attached. Signing, no recommendation. Senator Kelly, co-chair. Senators Wilkin. Signing, do pass. Senator Donnelly, co-chair. Senators Hoffman, Olson, Lehman. Signing, do not pass. Senator Green. Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends placement on the calendar. Signing the report, Senator Pierce, Chair. Senators Terrio, Ellis, Cowdery, and Phillips. There are two committee substitutes.
Senator Kelly.
Mr. President, I move the Finance CS in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 6 was before us in lieu of the original bill.
CS for Senate Bill number 6, Finance, an act relating to required notice of eviction to mobile home park dwellers and tenants before redevelopment of the park. I have no amendments.
Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for Senate Bill 6, Finance, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute Senate Bill 6, Finance, is before us in third reading. Madam Secretary.
CS for Senate Bill number 6, Finance, an act relating to required notice of eviction to mobile home park dwellers and tenants before redevelopment of the park.
Is there debate? If there is no debate, the question before the Senate is final passage of committee substitute Senate Bill. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed not to vote on this piece of legislation, as I have interest in a mobile home park and therefore have a conflict of interest.
There is objection, Senator Hoffman. You will be required to vote. Senator Taylor.
I am concerned about a portion of this bill. It appears to me that the opportunity to change land use, if you're the owner of a mobile home park, and I had thought that because of page 4 of the bill that it was limited to those that had 10 or more mobile home vehicles within them. It appears that provision of 10 or more only applies if you want to do what might be considered a quick take or a quick change, and the owner was willing to pay up to $5,000 for relocation costs and find a suitable place to relocate the trailer to. That's the only place the 10 comes in. So it would seem that this would impact a mobile home park owner, even if he were only going to move three or four, take a chunk out of his mobile home park and make something else out of it. If that's the case, we're now extending that to 365 days beyond the summer months. You can only evict or change occupancy during the period of the summer, and you have to give 365 days notice before that eviction occurs. So at the very least, you're probably looking at 13 months notification to actually make this thing work and not pay the $5,000. And that would seem to impact all trailers, not just 10 or more. And if I'm wrong in that interpretation, maybe somebody could explain that to me. I also have a second question, and that is on the bottom of page 3. It uses the word, if you're going to do the what you might call the quick take, 180-day thing, it says you can get down to 180 days if you have found a suitable place to relocate the mobile home and pay all the costs. And I just wondered if there was, how we define suitable, to whom? Is that suitable to the guy who owns the mobile home and is going to get moved? Or is that something that is determined to be suitable by the owner of the trailer park that wants to use it for a different purpose? So that's my two questions. Thank you.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. The reference to the change made in Senate Finance was a great idea brought forward by the Senate Majority Leader, and if there's more than 10 mobile homes being affected here, a developer can work with a private nonprofit to pool the monies involved and pay people's actual costs from this pool. A number of developers have found that a good route to go to take some of the administrative burden off of them. And so there was a desire by the Senate Finance Committee to put explicitly in state statute an ability to do what some have already done, and that is when 10 or more are affected, to be able to pool those monies and help folks out. Some folks won't need the $5,000, others may require more, so this was an opportunity to really work out what's best for the developer and the residents in a cooperative manner. The reference to page 3 about the suitable location, it's not left up to the resident who's being evicted to define a suitable place. The language of the bill is such that the mobile homeowner is not the one who decides what a suitable place is. It's not specifically mentioned here who would decide. Zoning regulations would be an indicator of suitability as well. And the hard fact is that there aren't a lot of locations for people to relocate to. That's one of the things we as part of government aren't able really to fix here in this legislation. We're just trying to help people get over the hump to get out there and find a better location. But suitable place is not up to the resident. That would have to be worked out among the parties involved. But the resident doesn't get to decide or reject locations based on suitability. And again, many municipalities don't have a lot of land zoned for mobile home parks. That's part of the dilemma we face.
Senator Lehman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to clarify one thing that the minority leader said. On the amendment that I offered in finance that shows up at top of page 4 regarding the pooled relocation fund, it may be done through a private nonprofit, but the amendment doesn't require that it be so. In fact, in the one incident that brought this idea to me, it's taking place in Anchorage right now, they are using indeed a private nonprofit and it's working very well. But I didn't want to limit it to that. There may be another mechanism that somebody may use in the future. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Further debate, Senator Taylor?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify this. If you own a mobile home park and more than 10 are going to be affected, then to get the early out, the 180-day option of eviction, you need to find a location for them that is suitable and pay $5,000. But if you don't want to pay the $5,000 or don't want to go find a more suitable location, you just wait the extra 185 days beyond that, and you don't pay them anything or find them another place to relocate. It seems to be if you're willing to wait over a year, you get out for free, but if you want to change the use of your land quicker than 1 year, you're under a six-month rule, and you're going to have to pay $5,000 and do some other things. Is that pretty good? Okay, thank you.
Is there further debate? The question before the Senate is final passage of committee substitute Senate Bill 6, Finance. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so, committee substitute Senate Bill 6, Finance, has passed the Senate by a vote of 12 yeas and 7 nays.
Senate Bill number 103 by the Senate State Affairs Committee, an act relating to election campaigns and legislative ethics and providing for an effective date. State Affairs Committee considered the bill, recommends the State Affairs Committee substitute. Fiscal note attached, signing due pass, Senator Terrio Chair, Senator Halford, signing no recommendation, Senators Phillips, Pierce, and Davis. Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends the Judiciary Committee substitute. Previous fiscal note adopted, signing due pass, Senator Taylor Chair, Senator Cowdery, signing do not pass, Senator Ellis, signing no recommendation, Senator Terrio. Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends Finance Committee substitute. Fiscal note attached, signing due pass, Senators Donnelly and Kelly, co-chair, Senator Lehman, signing no recommendation, Senators Hoffman and Olson. Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends calendaring, signing the report, Senator Pierce, chair, Senators Cowdery and Terrio, signing under other recommendations, Senator Ellis, signing no recommendation, Senator Phillips. There are three committee substitutes.
Senator Kelly.
Mr. President, I move the Finance Committee substitute in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance Committee substitute is before us in lieu of the original bill.
CS for Senate Bill number 103, Finance, an act relating to election campaigns and legislative ethics. I have no amendments.
Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for Senate Bill 103, Finance, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed in the final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute Senate Bill 103, Finance, is before us in third reading. Madam Secretary.
CS for Senate Bill number 103, Finance, an act relating to election campaigns and legislative ethics.
There are no amendments. There's nothing else. Is there debate? If there is no debate on the bill, the question before the Senate is final passage of committee substitute Senate Bill 103, Finance. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? So committee substitute Senate Bill 103, Finance, has passed the Senate by a vote of 17 yeas to 2 nays.
Senate Joint Resolution number 15 by Senators Osterman, Lincoln, Lehman, Taylor, Elton, and Cowdery relating to imports of salmon from Chile. Resources Committee considered the resolution. Zero fiscal note attached, signing due pass, Senator Torgerson, Chair, Senators Taylor, Pierce, Kelly, Elton, and Halford. Rules Committee considered the resolution, recommends a Rules Committee substitute be adopted, signing the report, Senator Pierce, Chair, Senator Terrio, signing under other recommendations, Senator Ellis, signing under no recommendation, Senator Phillips. There's a Rules Committee substitute.
Senator Pierce.
I would move the Rules CS in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 15 is before us in lieu of the original bill.
CS for Senate Joint Resolution number 15, Rules, relating to imports of salmon from Chile. I have no amendments.
Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 15, Rules, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute Senate Joint Resolution 15, Rules, is before us in third reading.
CS for Senate Joint Resolution number 15, Rules, relating to imports of salmon from Chile.
Is there debate? If there is no debate, the question before the Senate is final passage of committee substitute Senate Joint Resolution 15, Rules. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? So committee substitute Senate Joint Resolution 15, Rules, has passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas to 0 nays.
Senate Joint Resolution number 17 by Senators Donnelly, Halford, Lehman, Kelly, Taylor, Ward, Cowdery, Phillips, Terrio, Osterman, and Green relating to requesting that President Bush renounce and reverse Clinton administration anti-gun ownership policies and reorient the United States Department of Justice towards policies that accurately reflect the intent of the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution to grant individual Americans the right to keep and bear arms. State Affairs Committee considered the resolution, recommends the State Affairs Committee substitute. Zero fiscal note attached, signing DuPass, Senator Terrio Chair, Senator Phillips, signing no recommendation, Senators Pearson Davis. Rules Committee considered the resolution, recommends placement on the calendar, signing the report, Senator Pierce Chair, Senators Cowdery, Phillips, Terrio, and Ellis. There's a State Affairs Committee substitute.
Senator Terrio.
Mr. Chairman, I move the State Affairs Committee substitute in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the State Affairs Committee substitute is before us in lieu of the original bill.
CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 17, State Affairs, relating to requesting that President Bush renounce and reverse Clinton administration anti-gun ownership policies and reorient the United States Department of Justice towards policies that accurately reflect the intent of the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution to grant individual Americans the right to keep and bear arms. I have no amendments.
Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 17, State Affairs, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, Committee Substitute Senate Joint Resolution 17, State Affairs, is considered engrossed, advanced to third reading. Before us in final passage, is there debate? Senator Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Joint Resolution 17 calls on President Bush to use his executive powers and influence to reorient the United States Department of Justice towards a policy that fully recognizes the right of individual Americans to keep and bear arms, as we believe is guaranteed by the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. This issue really came to my attention based on a particular matter that was before the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, United States Court of Appeals. I've distributed to the members some notes from the oral argument in that case, and if I could have the leave of the body just to read a few of the remarks of that that really point out what the issue involved here. In that case, the judge, Judge DeMoss, one of the three-judge panel, was asking the U.S. attorney, as representing the position of the United States of America, the Justice Department, some questions about what the Second Amendment meant. And in fact said, the judge said, is it the position, are you stating that it's consistent with the Second Amendment, is consistent with the position that you can take guns away from the public, you can restrict ownership of rifles, pistols, and shotguns from all people? Is that the position of the United States? And the U.S. attorney answered, yes, it is. And it got even worse than that, Mr. President, because then a discussion occurred about what's the meaning of the National Guard. And the judge actually said that, asked, well, so then membership in the National Guard isn't enough. What else is needed? And the U.S. attorney answered, the weapon in question must be used in the National Guard. No one, even if a member of the National Guard, has the right to own guns privately. I was pretty amazed when I heard about this, and I was thinking maybe this was just a rogue U.S. attorney took this position that the Second Amendment didn't grant Americans the right to keep and bear arms. But amazingly, the Solicitor General of the United States confirmed that that was the position of the United States of America under the Clinton administration when he responded that in the correspondence that I've also provided to the members on August 22nd of the year 2000, that the Assistant U.S. Attorney did indeed take the position that the Second Amendment does not extend an individual right to keep and bear arms. Mr. President, I just think that's pretty amazing and flabbergasting and incredibly disappointing that our U.S. Justice Department would take a position like that, that I think is directly contrary to what everybody knows is the true meaning of the Second Amendment. There have been some people try to convince us otherwise, but I think even they intellectually recognize that it's obvious, it says what it says, that Americans have the right to keep and bear arms, and to argue that even a member of the militia is not entitled to, or the National Guard is not entitled to the right to own a gun is pretty amazing misinterpretation of the United States Constitution. And I think it is appropriate for, especially here in Alaska, where we recently, the voters of Alaska, amended our state constitution to specifically say that it's an individual right to keep and bear arms on the part of all Alaskans, that we defend the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution and the rights of all Americans under the Second Amendment. And this resolution does just that. It asks our new president to reverse this, what I think is a ridiculous policy on the part of the Clinton Justice Department, and to recognize that the United States Second Amendment does give us as law-abiding Americans the right to keep and bear arms.
Further debate?
Did you read it? Go ahead.
C. CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 17, State Affairs, relating to requesting that President Bush renounce and reverse Clinton administration anti-gun ownership policies and reorient the United States Department of Justice towards policies that accurately reflect the intent of the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution to grant individual Americans the right to keep and bear arms.
Is there further debate? If there is no further debate, the question before the Senate is final passage of Committee Substitute Senate Joint Resolution 17, State Affairs. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote?
So,
Committee Substitute Senate Joint Resolution 17, State Affairs, has passed the Senate by a vote of 18 yeas, 1 nay.
Citations honoring Jack Anderson, Outstanding Alaskan Award, honoring Nick Bailey, honoring Brian Carey, honoring Andre Colombe, honoring Misty Dutton, honoring Orion Walters.
Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the 6 citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations appearing on today's calendar are approved. And that brings us to unfinished business. Senator Kelly, under unfinished business.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the finance referral on HB 156, municipal debt for the development projects, with the accompanying zero fiscal note, be waived from finance.
Without objection, 156 will be waived from finance. Does that have a zero fiscal note?
Correct.
Yep. Okay. Further unfinished business? Announcements? Senator Terrio?
Mr. President, the LB&A committee will, which was scheduled to meet at noon, will meet immediately following our adjournment. We have 3 final audits just to release to the public and a couple of audit requests to consider, so the meeting shouldn't take very long. If the members would go right up to House Finance, we can take care of business quickly.
Further announcements? Special orders? Senator Pierce? We'll stand at ease. Come back to order. We are under special orders. Senator Ward.
Thank you, Mr. President. I request permission of the body to speak on Message for Mom.
Without objection, Senator, you have the floor.
Mr. President, my mother has asked me to deliver a special message. We'd like very much to thank everybody in this body, and you, Mr. President, that has given the sympathy and the warm regards of the passing of my father and the other body of it on the other side. We especially want me to thank you for you giving the traditional gift, Mr. President. And on behalf of the entire Ward family, my father will be missed, and as many of you said that have missed and had a loved one pass, and as many of you said on the same day even as my dad had passed in years past, I now recognize what was in your eyes as well as my wife's eyes. It wasn't an intensity. What it was is, as your mom passed on to me, Mr. President, it's the loved one living in you. And with that, it is the loved one living within you. My father will continue living with me and through me. And now I join with those of you in the understanding of when one passes on and goes to be with our Creator, what that means. I didn't know, and it's something that all of us will face, and for those of you who faced it before me, I now understand. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further special orders? Senator Lehman.
I move that the Senate stand in recess until 11 a.m. tomorrow. Excuse me, it's moved that the Senate adjourn until 11 a.m. tomorrow, which is Friday, March 30th.
Without objection, we are adjourned until 11 a.m. tomorrow.